Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I hope that you are well at whatever time it is you are listening to this. I once again want to welcome in new listeners and, of course, greet again those of you who have been tuning in to God Is for years now. I'm happy to have each one of you with us as we continue to discover who God is. And it is true that as we open our Bibles and start reading in Genesis chapter 3, we have actually been discussing not necessarily who God is, but rather who Satan is. But we do this in the context of the full revelation of God, what God has given to us, informing Bible readers of the evil one Satan that God himself cast out of heaven. For the last 8 broadcasts and podcasts, we have been learning that Satan is the origin of evil. Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28 include several very important and insightful verses about the real being Satan, who exists and continues to trudge through this world as the great enemy of God and God's people. He is an accuser, an adversary, and an enemy. He is wicked and evil. He is a liar and the father of lies. Satan is a murderer and a tempter, and this does not even cover all the names the Bible has for him. And if you have been a Christian for any period of time, even a short period of time, then you know the devil is exactly as the Apostle Peter describes him. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And he will happily devour you and me if we do not resist him and flee from him. This is why it is crucial that we know about the devil. And again, Isaiah and Ezekiel are gold mines of knowledge for us. So what I want to do today is to summarize what the two prophets taught us. Then I want to take us a step further into Genesis chapter 3. So join me now in a quick review. In Isaiah chapter 14, we learned that Satan was originally in heaven. He was created by God as a holy angel of light. He was a light bearer, or a bearer of light. His name was Lucifer, which is what light bearer in Latin means. But Lucifer used his will to go up against God. 5 times in Isaiah, Lucifer is quoted as saying, "In heaven, I will." Lucifer was created with the freedom of the will, and he used his will to sin. The evil one surely will never pray the prayer our Lord taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, your will be done." Desiring and prioritizing his own will over God's will, God cast him out of heaven. The holy angel Lucifer fell to earth and landed with a great big thud. He is no longer holy but unholy. He is no longer good but evil. He is no longer perfect but imperfect. He is no longer an angel but the chief demon. He is the originator of evil. He is the one responsible for delivering the temptation to the first woman in the garden in Eden. And he is under the eternal judgment of God for his gross crimes and for his wretched sinfulness. And then we turned in the Word of God to Ezekiel and picked up an additional 8 insights into who Satan was and is. First, we learned he was perfect, wise, and beautiful. He was. Second, he came into the garden in Eden. Third, in heaven before his fall, he was covered in precious stones. Fourth, he was the original worship leader. Fifth, he was a cherub. But sixth, there was unrighteousness found in him. So that seventh, he led a prideful rebellion against God, So that eighth, he is judged by God, as I have emphasized twice now. I hope this summary and review is helpful to you. Of course, if you missed any of the previous 8 radio broadcasts or internet podcasts in which I taught Isaiah and Ezekiel, just hop on my website and get caught up. You'll see everything that has been said right in the center of the homepage at godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. The website exists as an additional resource for you and your family and friends. Please take advantage of it, share it, and subscribe to the God Is podcast if you'd like to take God Is with you wherever you go. Now that we have established Satan as the origin of evil, and we learned that he was cast out of heaven by the mighty hand of God, let's observe him now as he possesses the serpent in the garden in Eden and whispers a sweet temptation into the ears of a listening woman, the very first woman named Eve. Join me back in our text, Genesis 3, verse 1. We will observe how sin comes from outside Eve, Adam, and the garden to inside the same three, brought there by none other than this Satan. To observe how the devil operates, I'm reading Genesis 3, verses 1 through 5, and the dialogue between the serpent and Eve. Join me if you can in your Bible, Genesis 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Thank you for being attentive to the Word of God. And you will likely have noticed as I read that twice here the serpent speaks and the woman speaks once. The serpent asks the question. Eve answers the question, and then the serpent casts doubt on Eve's answer. Let's start with the serpent's question. As we do, I remind you that God is not the originator, the source, or the author of evil. Satan is. And that evil came to this woman, and later the man, from without. The first sin does not come from within man and woman's original nature, but from without, from Satan speaking through the serpent. And I want to borrow and share with you something insightful I picked up from our friend W.H. Griffith Thomas in his really helpful and easily read book, Genesis, A Devotional Commentary. He outlines how subtle and crafty the serpent is here. Dr. Griffith Thomas asks us to notice first that the serpent excites the woman's curiosity by speaking to her. And earlier in this series, we talked about what it means that the serpent spoke. And here, there is no doubt this piqued the curiosity of Eve. A talking serpent? How interesting. Let me hear what this creature has to say. Eve must have reasoned. Satan does that when he tempts us today. Oh, he is good at capturing our attention in very subtle ways. It is amazing how we can be going about our days and nights, not even thinking a sinful thought, and then suddenly, out of the middle of nowhere, we are into full-blown sin. Well, second, the serpent raises suspicion of God by the question that he asks. The suspicion is in these 4 words. "Indeed, has God said?" Stating the question this way is designed to engender doubt. The tempter is still doing this. Oh, how he just loves to get you and me to doubt God And Griffith Thomas writes about the threefold doubt the serpent injects into Eve's mind. Let me share these with you. Verse 1, the serpent causes Eve to doubt the goodness of God. How can God be good to you if God restricts, if God gives you a prohibition, if God says you shall not? Has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Verse 4, the serpent causes Eve to doubt the righteousness of God when he says, you surely will not die. As we will see when we get to verse 4 in greater depth later, of course God, who is perfectly righteous, will judge an unrighteous act, the penalty for eating of the tree, as God had really said, was death. The serpent lies about the righteousness of holy God. And then in verse 5, the serpent causes Eve to doubt the holiness of God. The serpent subtly plants the idea, you are not going to die, rather just the opposite, you will see that you can be God. The serpent says, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You, woman, you, human, can be a God. Well, this robs God of his holiness. The suggestion that through a sinful act, eating of the tree, you can become God, lowers God right down to the level of evil. There is no evil. There is no sin in God. There is only holiness in God. So one cannot become God by sinning. But the serpent is persuasive. We soon will have to end here, but I will have more tomorrow about Satan's temptation. So I hope that you will join me then in Genesis chapter 3 as we continue to explore Satan's temptation in the garden in Eden via the serpent right here on God Is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.